ברוכים הבאים רבותיי. Welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. We are studying Parashat Noah. The Parashah of the Great Flood. The Mabul. After the Mabul is over, Borei Olam makes a covenant with Noah. I'm reading in Perek Tet, Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayomer Elohim, Zot Ot HaBerit, Asher Ani Noten Beni Ubenechem Uben Kol Nefesh Chaya Asher Etechem LeDorot Olam. This is going to be a covenant for mankind, for all living creatures, for all generations, LeDorot Olam. Et kashti natati be'anan. I placed my rainbow, kashir is a rainbow, in the clouds. Vayeta le'ot berit, b'ni u'ben ha'ares. V'haya be'anani anan ala ares, v'nir'ata kashit be'anan. And when the clouds will disperse over the land, the rainbow will be seen. וזכרתי את בריתי, and I'll remember that covenant, אשר ביני וביניכם, ובכן נפש חיה בכל בשר, ולא יהיה עוד המים למבול לשחט כל בשר. And God says, I will not bring a מבול. And we understand that from here we learn that the rainbow is actually, like the Ramban says, a sign of מידת הדין. Keshet is melashon kasheh. It's deen. That really God intends to bring another flood because of the sins of man, but only because of the covenant that he promised Noah that he wouldn't do it again. So he, Baruch Omer ve'oseh, keeps his word. But the rainbow is a sign that the world should have been inundated again, but Borei Olam is keeping the berit. Therefore, it's a sign of deen, but at the same time, it's a sign of mercy that we were saved. I'm not going into the science today, whether the rainbow was a new phenomenon or an old phenomenon. The Rishonim grapple with this, whether the rainbow began in the times of Noah, or was the rainbow around from Sheshet Yemei Ma'aseh Bereshit. From the Ramban, it seems clearly that he says we must agree to the Hachamim of Yavan, the Greek scholars, that say that the rainbow was always around. It's a matter of science. When the light refracts through the droplets of rain and through the mist in the air or through the thin clouds, so that refraction of light causes it to split up into the, we would call it the colors of the rainbow, the three primary colors, and then the seven colors that come out of it. So, the Ramban says it was around from the beginning of time. That's the law of nature. Ibn Ezra, in his first interpretation, says no, the rainbow was a new phenomenon. But then he says, and even if we want to say that it was around from the beginning, but now the rainbow became more pronounced. Now already God would shine the sun through these droplets where you'd see a clear rainbow. It could be before in the Sheshet Yemei Ma'aseh Bereshit, before the Mabul. Yeah, you know, the colors, but it wasn't something outstanding. But then Ibn Ezra says, after the Mabul, now it became a brit, now it became a sign of a covenant, so it became more pronounced. But that's a discussion in itself. But why is it that the rainbow was chosen as a sign of peace? Why did God use this image, this keshet, to indicate that He's not going to destroy the world? Here again, we need the opinion of Ramban. This is also the opinion of Rabbeinu Bahya as well. He says, a keshet is a bow. A bow is used as in bow and arrow, where one holds the bow where the string is towards him, is in front of him, and he takes the arrow and he lines it up, and he pulls back and he releases. So he writes to Ramban that in the olden days when they used to go out to war, the soldiers used to have a sign of surrender. Today we wave the white flag. But in the olden days, they used to fight with bow and arrows. So they used to take the arrow and they used to point it up. So that was an indication as if they surrendered. That means like a rainbow. You'd see the bow and the string is towards the ground because it's a sign of surrender, because you can't shoot a bow and arrow that way. And if you're going to shoot, it's not going to hurt anybody. It's just going to go up to the sky and come back down. So they would lift up their bows like this, and everybody would understand that the war is over. Rabban says, Kiviyachol. God says that really, I should face the bow towards earth and shoot my arrows towards humanity. And that should cause Bar Minan, humanity, to be destroyed. But God says, Kiviyachol, I surrender to the Midat HaRahamim, I surrender to the measure of mercy, and therefore I turn the bow upside down, and therefore if I shoot, if anything, the arrows are just going to go up and hit me, Kiviyachol. And therefore that's a sign of peace. When you look at the Keshet, you're looking at an upside down bow, although to us that's right side up, because that's what a rainbow looks like. But in truth, it's an upside down bow. Really, the bow should look like a U. However, by putting it that way, that's as if that those arrows that are coming to shoot, instead of hitting us, Kiviyachol hit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saw an explanation to elaborate on this Ramban, based on a pasuk that we're going to read in Sefer Shemot. Atem re'item asher asiti l'misraim. God says, I carried you on the wings of eagles. What is that interpretation? What does it mean, God carried us on the wings of eagles when we came out of Egypt? So Rashi HaKadosh says, Keneshet anose gozalav al kenafav. Like an eagle that's different than all other birds. The eagle carries its children on its wings. Shekol sha'ar ofot, all the other birds, Nutnim et benehem ben raglehem. They carry their little birds in their legs, by their legs. Lefi shemityarim me'of ha'el sheporeh al gabem. Because they're worried that a bird might fly above them and snatch their children. So they hold their children beneath them. Aval ha'neshet hazeh, but the eagle, eno mityareh. He's not scared because he flies the highest. So he's not worried about anybody on top of him. He's only worried on the human that's underneath, that's going to shoot arrows. And if he's going to hold the children by his legs, the arrows are going to shoot and kill the children. So he says, Shema yi'ela min ha'adam. He's scared of the Adam. Shema yizrok bochetz. Maybe he's going to shoot an arrow. Lefi she'en of poreach al gabav. Because no bird can fly over the eagle. Lachen notno al kenafav. So he puts it on his wings. Omer, it's as if the eagle says, Mutav yikanetz ha'hez bi. I'd rather get hit by the hetz, by the arrow, velo bibni. And at least it'll save my son. So the children of the eagle, the baby eagles are on top. So even if the arrow hits, it hits the mother bird, but it doesn't hit the children. Af ani asiti ken. So God says, Va'esa etchem al kanfe nesharim. I put you above, as if God was saying, if the arrows are going to hit, let them hit me, you're on top. Esther Mefarshim, what are you talking? What arrows? What arrows? V'chi arrows are hitting God? As if God is saying, if they want to shoot arrows, let the arrows shoot me. So the Mefarshim explain that when the Jewish people were coming out of Mitzrayim, you had the Mekatreg, the prosecutor. The prosecutor came to God and said, Halalu of the Abu Dazara, Halalu of the Abu Dazara. Why are the Jewish people any different than the Egyptians? Manishtanu elu me'elu. Why are you giving the judgment to the Egyptians and the mercy to the Jewish people? The Jewish people are just as guilty. That claim of the prosecutor is like an arrow. The Hachamim compare a person's speech to an arrow. Because he shoots the words out. And just like an arrow cannot be retracted after you shoot it, so too a word cannot be retracted after you expel it from your mouth. And just like an arrow damages, so too a word can have a damaging effect. And just like an arrow can have a long-reaching effect, so to the word. So therefore the word is considered a chetz. And therefore God says, when the Satan came to Mekatreg, and he was shooting those arrows, I put you on top, I said, let him shoot the arrows to me and I'll deflect them. Those arrows are the arrows of the Kitrug of the Satan. And that's the explanation might be the depth of the Ramban by the arrow or the bow of the rainbow. Kiviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when God sees that the world is corrupt, and God intends to bring a Mabul to the world, and who do you think pipes up at that time? The Mekatreg, the Satan himself. Just like the Satan, the Zohar HaKadosh said, piped up in the times of Noah. On the Pasuk, Ketz Kol Basar Balefanai. The Gemara says, who's Ketz? Ketz Ze Malach HaMavet. And the Malach HaMavet came in front of God and said, destroy them. They don't deserve to have any existence. And therefore God, in that instance, listened to the Ketrug of the Satan. But God says, for now on, when he shoots his arrows, I'm going to deflect them. Those arrows of the Satan are not going to penetrate downward, which is going to cause destruction. Adrabah, mutav, like Rashi says, better yikanetz ahetz bi, let the chetz come into me, velo bebanai. So that is the interpretation of Haramban. And therefore, at the time of a rainbow, I saw brought down in Sfarim, Rabbi Yaakov Ades brings it down in the Sefer on the Perasha. Although, as I said, it's a signal that there was a judgment, but it's a signal as well that the Satan was silenced. And any moment the Satan is silent is an et ratzon, is a great moment for tefillah, is a great moment for growth, is a great moment of mercy. See, we don't think like that. We're always taught, oh, you see a rainbow, you have to make chabeav, you have to cry. The poskim say you shouldn't even tell somebody that there's a rainbow. But then again, the Gemara says we make a beracha on the rainbow. And the rainbow is considered as a gilui of the Shekhinah. You're not supposed to stare at a rainbow because it's a great manifestation of the light of God. And therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov Ades, that once already the rainbow is manifest, that's a moment of aliyah, it's a moment of teshuvah as well. But since the Satan is being silenced temporarily, so therefore a person's tefillot have a greater chance to be answered. If somebody calls him, oh, did you see the rainbow? You make a tefillah. That's a moment of ratzon. That's the Ramban's derech. But I didn't come tonight to speak to say over the Ramban. That's just an appetizer to Barmanan. The Ramban is no appetizer. The Ramban is a main entree. I should have to wash my mouth out after saying that. That's a main course, and that Ramban could be studied for the next 1,000 years with all the depth that he said. But for tonight's class, I want to move on to some other shittot. That's what happens when you go on vacation for a few days. You forget how to talk about the Rishonim. I want to say over what I saw brought down from the Abarbanel. Different interpretation of the rainbow and how it relates to God's covenant not to bring another flood. He looks at it more scientific. He says like this. He says, originally, the way the rain system used to work, there was one big cloud, like the Torah says, Ve'ed Ya'alem in Ha'aretz. It was an ed. It was one big black, dark cloud. And the cloud was saturated with rain. And it would give rainfall for the entire earth. So he says, since the cloud was so dark, and since it was so laden with water, and since the atmosphere had a dense fog of the water that were in these mega clouds, so he said, the rainbow scientifically couldn't manifest. Because the rain, the cloud was so thick, and the water was so heavy, that the light couldn't penetrate through it in order to make the refraction that's necessary. After the Mabul, God says, no longer is there going to be these great clouds that brought flood. Now the clouds are going to be ananim. They're going to be light clouds. And therefore, since they're going to be light clouds, now the light will be able to go through and refract through the water. So therefore, the rainbow is an indication that there's not going to be any more flood. Because that's an indication that there's light clouds now. And the mist is much lighter than it was. And therefore, when you see a rainbow, according to the Abarbanel, that's already the greatest indication that God will not bring a flood. Those days of the big black clouds that bring flood rains are over. Now the atmosphere has changed. Good. Rashi HaKadosh comments that the covenant is a covenant for the generations. Ledorot Olam. Rashi notes that if you look at the word Ledorot, it's Hasir. It's missing a Vav. Dorot should be spelled Dalit Vav, Resh Vav, Tap. It's missing two Vavs. But it's written the Darat Olam. She's bothered. Nikhtav Haser. Sheyesh Dorot, Shelo Tzrechu Leot. There were certain generations that they did not need the sign of a rainbow. Lefishet tzaddikim gimurim ayu, because they were perfect tzaddikim, kemo dorosh el Hizkiyah melech Yehuda, vedorosh el Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. As she says that, as an example, two generations in history that there was no rainbow, there was no manifestation of the Keshet, because there was never a judgment on the world that you needed the rainbow to undo it. The tzaddikim in that generation was so great that their sitkut was able to protect the generation that had never got to a situation of mabul. And that's why the pasuk is written, Lidorot, Lidarat. Lidorot is haser. To show you that not every generation needed a mabul. Some generations were missing the mabul. And as she gives two examples, that doesn't mean that these were the only examples. But the examples that he gives is the generation of Hizkiyah. And the other is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I have a theory that I'd like to propose tonight. What was significant about those generations? I know tzaddikim, but we have tzaddikim in every generation. V'chi, we don't have tzaddikim in our generation today. What was unique, what was special about those two generations, where Borei Olam said, there will not be a flood, there will not be any destruction? If we look at the generation of Hizkiyah, Hizkiyah lived at a time where there was a great threat of war by Sanherib. Sanherib had 180,000 soldiers. His soldiers were on the border, the wall of Jerusalem, and Hizkiyah was on the inside. Very, very dangerous. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Hubbal ol mipene shamin. Amar b'Yitzhak nafha, Hubbal ol shen Sanherib. The yoke of Sanherib broke. He was unable to penetrate the wall. He was unable to fight Am Yisrael. Hubbal ol. The yoke of Sanhedrin was broken. Why? Because of the oil. When did you ever hear of an army that defeats an opposing army with oil. You fight with tanks, you fight with artillery. No, Hezekiah found a new unconventional method of fighting. He fought with oil. What did he do? He poured hot oil over the wall and they slipped and then they broke their heads. What's the oil? So the Gemara says, "Mepenesh shomno shel Hezekiah shehaya dolek bebet haKnesset ubebet haMidrash." Hezekiah went and he made sure that there was enough oil in the lanterns and enough oil in the candles and in the nerot to make sure that they will last bright the entire night, all year long, in the Bate Knesset and the Bate Midrashot. Why? So the students can come and study Torah. This was the oil that he was using. The oil that was used so the students could read Torah, and the Gemara says, Na'atz Harif. He took a sword, and he thrust it in the Bet HaMidrash, and he made the following royal declaration. Kol mi she'eno nechnas. Anybody that doesn't enter the Bet HaMidrash, yidaker be'harif zu, will be slain by the harif. They did an investigation shortly after that. From the north of Israel to the south, to all its borders. And they could not find a man or a woman. They could not find tinok v'tinoket, a child, be it boy or girl, shelo ayu bekiim b'ilchot tumah v'tahara, that were not fluent in the intricate and complex laws of tumah v'tahara. That means there was such a renaissance of Torah in the times of Hezekiah that even the children, the women, you could ask them the intricate laws of Tum'ah v'Tahara and they had it on their fingertips. And the Gemara says that's how Sanherib's army fell. Says the Netziv from the Lashon on this Gemara, and he says, from here you see that Am Yisrael fights in a much different way than we're used to. The pasuk says, "Akol kol Yaakov vayadaim yede Esav." Keshe akol kol Yaakov, when the voice of Yaakov resonates in the Bet Midrash, when there's study of Torah and there's learning, en hayadaim yede Esav. The brutal hands of Esav, the violent hands of Esav of war, are neutralized, are destroyed. From what? When the yeshivot, and when the Tamid Achamim, and the boys, and the girls, and the students are studying Torah. And he goes on to bring a midrash that says, that they once asked Bil'am Rasha, they told them, how are we going to be able to fight and defeat Am Yisrael? He said, go check the Bate Midrashot. If the Bate Midrashot are filled with students learning, you don't have a shot. That means even our sworn enemies knew where lies the secret of Am Yisrael's greatness and existence and longevity and durability and indestructibility. It's because they study Torah. And that's why he says, the Netziv says it, but I also saw it brought down by Rabbeinu Bahya, that when Moshe Rabbeinu blessed the tribes before he passed away. So one of the tribes he blessed was the tribe of Zevulun. And he told them, Semach Zevulun besetecha. Zevulun, you should be very happy when you go out. It doesn't say where they're going out to, but you should be happy when you go out. The Yisachar be'ohalecha. You know why you should be happy? Because your brother Yisachar is in the Ohel. That oil, we know what it is. That's the oil of Torah. The Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells Zevulun, and he's telling Am Yisrael, the reason why Zevulun can be happy when he goes out is because his brother Yisachar is sitting in the oil of Torah. But where was Zevulun going? It doesn't say. Listen to what the Targum Unkelus on that pasuk says. We just read it a few weeks ago. And I quote, "Vilizbulun amar hadde zibulun B'mepekach le'agaha kerava, when you go out to the battleground, al ba'ale de'babach, on your enemies. That means Moshe Rabbeinu was giving a klal gadol, that the reason why Am Yisrael has success on the battlefields, the reason why they have success in the war, is not because of the munitions, and not because of the strategy, and not because of the physical. That's Esav's beracha, al harbecha techyeh. The cherev is the weapon of Esav. Our weapon is v'yisachar be'ohalecha. When Yisachar is in the tent learning Torah, that's our strength. And he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Omedot hayu raglenu b'sha'arayich Yerushalayim. It says, Omedot hayu raglenu. Our legs were standing. Where were they standing? B'sha'arayich Yerushalayim, at the gates of Jerusalem. Says the Gemara in this pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk is talking about one situation, and the end of the pasuk is explaining why that situation came true. Omedot hayu raglenu b'milchama. Our legs stood stable where? On the battleground. Omedot hayu raglenu. Why? That's the end of the pasuk. B'sha'arayich Yerushalayim. Because look at the gates in Jerusalem. The gates of Jerusalem refer to the sha'arim ha-metsuyanim b'halakha. The gates that are earmarked for the study of Torah, for the study of halakha. David HaMelech, who was a warrior, he said the battle is in the yeshivot. And that's why we call that debate, where the students spar with each other in the yeshiva, and they go back and forth. They call that milhamta shel Torah, the war of Torah. War? What kind of war is this? It's a friendly war. It's a war of combatants that are on the same side. We call that friendly fire. But the Hakamim refer to it as milhamta shel Torah. It's because that's where the real battle is. The battle is in the Bet Midrash. And when that battle is raging properly, if you remember in the Gemara Berachot, when there was the great debate between the Hachamim, Ban Gamliel was the president at the time. So he needed to settle the debate. So he said, wait, Ad sheyagiyu ba'ale terisin lebet ha-midrash. Wait till the warriors with their shields enter the Bet HaMidrash. That means that's the way they looked at them. When they came into the Bet HaMidrash, each one would defend his position like a soldier that's standing with armament in order to protect himself from the weapons that are hurled at him. And that's what made the generation of Hezkiah protected. And that's why in such a generation, where there's such a promotion of Torah, and there's so much learning, God says, there's two covenants. There's the Brit of the Keshet, it's called the Brit, but there's another Brit. It's called the Brit of Torah. Im lo Briti yomam v'layla, chukot shamayim v'ares lo samti. God said, if it wasn't for the Brit, that mitzvah that applies day and night, which is the Torah, as it says, v'agita bo yomam v'layla, chukot shamayim v'ares lo samti, I would return the world back to tohu v'avohu. And therefore, since in the time of Hezkiah, that Brit of Torah was being promoted throughout the land, all ages, men and women, Chubal Ol Mepene Shamin, Sanherib didn't stand a chance. And who did he lose to? Was it a nuclear bomb? He lost to an oil lamp. That's who he lost to the yeshiva people that were sitting and studying Torah by the light of the oil of Hezkiah. And therefore, when you have the Brit of the Torah, God says, you don't need the Brit HaKeshet. You don't need this rainbow, because there's no judgments on the world. That's Hezkiah's generation. What about the generation of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Well, let's quote or go to a Gemara and Ketubot. Tonight, you're in good luck, because we're going to study a piece of Gemara together. It's in Ketubot. Ladies, this is your chance to study Gemara. No, you don't get a chance to do that often. You can see what you're missing. All the goodies. The Gemara is in Ketuvot Ayin Zayin. Gemara is telling us about one of the great rabbis, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. The Gemara is talking about a certain disease that was prevalent in the times of the Gemara. It's called Ra'atan. This Ra'atan is very contagious. She says, Sheretz yeshlo b'mocho. It's a certain parasite that grows in the person's brain, bar minan, and those that are in contact with the Ba'alei Ra'atan, they can contract it very easily. So the Gemara says how the people used to be cautious. They were like the lepers of their time. They had to be segregated from the congregation. However, the Gemara says there was one rabbi. He wasn't scared of them. Not only wasn't scared of them, he went and he taught them Torah and he made shi'urim. And who were the attendees of the shi'urim of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, this great rabbi? Ba'alei Ra'atan. Mechrach behu. He came close to them. He gathered them together. Then she says, "Nidbak etzlam b'sha'as she'asak b'torah u'moshivan etzlo." When he taught the Ba'alei Ra'atan Torah, he didn't wear a surgical mask. He didn't tell them, all the Ba'alei Ra'atan sit in the back. No, he would bring all the Ba'alei Ra'atan next to him. They're sneezing on him. They're touching him. They're all next to him. Doesn't matter. Why? What did he say? V'asak b'Torah. Amar ayelet abim v'ya'alat chen. Imchen ma'aleh alumdea. Agoneh lo megna. You think the Torah doesn't protect? You're studying Torah. The Torah is a cure-all. You don't think the Torah is going to protect me from this contagious disease? And she says, U'muftach hu shetagen ha-Torah alav v'lo yuzak. He taught Torah b'mesirut nefesh. Every student was entered into Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi's yeshiva, even the sixth student that nobody else would accept. She says, "Kishegi azmano lipater." It was time for Rabbi Yoshua to leave this world. Amru le lemalach hamavet zil avid le ri'ute. So they told the Malach HaMavet, go down to Rabbi Yoshua, and whatever he asks for, give him. You're going to have to bring him up. But if he asks for something, grant him his wish. Azal et hazele. So the Malach HaMavet appears, he has his sword in his hand to kill Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi. It's the Malach HaMavet. And he appears to Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi. Amar le ahavele le duchtai. I want you to show me my spot where I'm going to sit in Gan Eden. I want to know my section. Which row am I in? Amar le lechaye. Okay, no problem. We can show it to you. Amar le havli sakinach. But you got to hand over your knife. He's telling the Malach HaMavet, this to be sure. It's unbelievable. He says, give me your knife. Why? Dilma mev'et li be'urcha. He said, listen, you're going to take me all the way up to the Shamayim now. I'm scared of you. You're walking around with a knife behind me like this. I don't want to get scared the whole way. So do me a favor, give me a knife. I'll give it to you back. Just give it to me, give me the knife. You show me my place, you're going to Eden, and then finish. Yehavin yehaleh. The man like Allah gives Rabbi Yeshua the knife. The Mahshem Olad. You see what the tzaddikim are? Ki mata le'atam. When he got to his place in Gan Eden, Dalia, he jumped in. You see, the Malach HaMavet showed it to him from like over the bridge. So you're going to sit right over there. Right over there, shoot, he jumped into Gan Eden, alive. Kam ma'ave le shavar, nafal lahu gisa, nakteb bekanad glima. The Malach HaMavet grabbed Rabbi Yoshua by the coattails, but he was in already. Rabbi Yeshua says, I swear on God's name, I'm not coming out. Now you can't get me. I made a shiva on God's name. Not allowed to. So what happened? Amar kutcha biriku. So God intervened now. I itshil at shivuata nehdar. Ila la nehdar. So God says, listen. If this Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was loyal to his word during his lifetime and never absolved himself through Hatarat Nedarim or Hatarat Shivuot, he never exempted himself from a swear that he made, then I'm going to honor his swear. But if once in his life he didn't keep his word, then we'll just make Hatarat Shivuot for him and we're going to kick him out. Anyway, they did the search and they saw that the Rabbi Yehoshua never defiled his word. He never went back on anything he said. Therefore, he's in. Amar lehavli sakinahi. Okay, you're in. Give me my knife back. Satan now is begging the Rabbi Yehoshua ben Ami. I need my equipment. Lo avakei yahivne. Why should I give it to you? So now what? The Rabbi Yehoshua means an accomplice. Adrabah. Mashiach will come. He's holding the knife of the Satan. The Satan can't kill anybody. That's it. Game over. And he figured he'll make tikkun olam. Nafka bat kala. But God intervened again. V'amra le havni hale. Give him back the knife. Give him back the weapon. Dimitba'a le b'riyata. The world still needs him. We didn't get to tikkun yet. Fine. He gives it them back. These are the legends of the Talmud that you could read to your children before they go to sleep at night, so they become fluent with all these great stories of the tzaddikim. Instead of scaring them half to death with the Lion King and Goldilocks and the criminals and all the other scary stories that they have. Anyway, Machriz Eliyahu Kameh. Eliyahu Navi gets involved now. And Eliyahu Navi makes an announcement. Penu makom lebar divaeh. Penu makom lebar divaeh. Yehoshua ben Levi. Make room. Clear the space for the son of Levi. Bar divaeh. Make space for bar divaeh. Azal. Ashkehed Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. As he's taking his section, he sees Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Unbelievable. The author of the Kabbalah, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, sitting over there. He's sitting on 13 benches of gold. Very hashuv seating arrangement there. Yeah. Amar le atu bar livae. Are you're bar livae? You're the one that Eliyahu Navi is making a whole noise about. Amar le en. Tell him yes. Tells him, Nir'eta keshet biyamecha. First question, you can't believe the question Rabbi Shimon asks him. Out of all the questions, you're seeing a man here that just fought with a Malach HaMavet. Malach HaMavet's begging him for his equipment back. God acquiesces to something that very rarely happens in history. Somebody entered Gan Eden alive. He didn't go through the normal process of dying in this world, being buried, separation of neshama from guf. He just went up on a tour, jumped in. And now, when he's getting to settle, he sees the Mishamon Bar Yochai, your Badi Fa'eh. So you're thinking, what's the first question he's going to ask him? And the first question you ask him, how'd you pull off that trick? How'd you dupe the Satan into getting the knife out of his head? How did you jump into Gan Eden? That's your one personal question. Your Bar Livaeh that they're talking about. Was there ever a rainbow in your time? In your lifespan, was there ever a rainbow? Amar lehen. He said, yeah, there was rainbows. Im ken. If that's the case, I ata Bar Livaeh. You can't be Bar Livaeh. You're not worth anything. There was a rainbow in your time. You're not the Hashuv guy that I thought. What are they making a big deal about you? A guy like you that they're announcing, Eliyahu Navi, whole Marcus, and she says, En atara uy lichruze. You're not worthy of this announcement. I thought they only, according to the Bishamon Bar Yochai, to make a public announcement on the address system, the PA of Shamayim, they don't announce every guy that gets up there and make room for Mr. Flan Flan, Mr. Ploni Almoni. You have to be worthy. So you're the best. I heard your name on the loudspeaker. You're Badi Vaeh. Let me ask you one question. There was a rainbow in your time? Of course there was a rainbow. That's what they're announcing it for. Who's in charge?
Rashi says, "En ataraui lechnuze shani shomaya, shekeshet eno ela ot berit shelo yichrav ha'olam." The keshet is a sign that God wants to destroy the world. V'im yesh tzadik gamur bedor en tzarich ot. If there's a tzaddik in the generation, you don't need a sign. God's not going to destroy the world, so you're not what they're touting you to be. The Gemara concludes, Velahi, it's not so. Delo avai mideh. Really? There was no rainbow in the times of the Yehoshua ben Levi. But what did he do? El asavar lo azik tevuta lenafshai. He said, I don't want to be mazik tova, I don't want to brag, I don't want to... So he told Rabbi Shimon, there was no rainbow. You could go start analyzing, are you allowed to lie, not allowed to lie? Go look at the Chidah. Of Chidah is a whole arichut. From here we see that in order to be humble, you're allowed to lie. It goes back and forth. But the Gemara says, he did it lo azik tibuta lenafshai. He didn't want to mazik himself in a good midah like that. Now she says, "Lo ava midah, lo dera keshet b'yamav." What is the depth of this Gemara? So I saw recently a novel interpretation in order to give us an understanding of a lot of the details in this Gemara. And what was Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's claim? And why did he specifically ask, was there a rainbow in your time? And when he told him yes, Rabbi Shimon says, you're not worthy of any of this kavod. They say it like this. There are certain tzaddikim that are able to reach certain madrigot in this world that their physical body is no longer physical. No longer do they have guf and neshama. They become so lofty that their guf becomes like neshama. And therefore they are like neshama and neshama. Through the great levels of Kedusha and Perishut and sanctity, they're able to sublime even the physical body to such madrigot. And that explains Rabbi Yehoshua. He was one of these tzaddikim. You know why people get sick? Which part of the body gets sick? The physical part of the body gets sick. When you catch a cold, we don't say, oh, my neshama caught a cold. Your body caught a cold. When a person has a flu or he has a virus, that's a physical ailment. But if a person is all spiritual, so there's no such thing as a contagious disease to a neshama. And if it would be Yeshua, you're right, he had a physical body. You could shake his hand. You could touch him. He had a physical body. But that body was so Kodesh, it had a deen of a neshama. Therefore, he says, bring all the sick people, let them sit around me. What am I worried about? Now what? That my body's going to get sick? My body's a neshama now. And therefore there's nothing to be concerned about. And that's why he merited Eliyahu and Navi to make the announcement. You know why? Because it takes one to know one. That's the American principle. It takes one to know one. Eliyahu and Navi was exactly like that. Eliyahu and Navi in his own life, he also went up to the Shamayim alive, which is a rarity, but Nabi Yeshua ben Levi was part of that elite group. And therefore Eliyahu Nabi says, I'm going to make the announcement. He's just like me. He also reached this madriga of total neshama, of total sanctity, that he was able to reach a level where he can enter Gan Eden alive. This was the praise that Eliyahu Nabi could appreciate, because he knows what work it is to reach this madriga. That's why when he announces him on the loudspeaker, he says, Panu makom lebar livai, lebar livai. Ask the rabbis. That's how you introduce him? By his last name or by, you know, his father's name, the son of Levi? Ben Barli Va'er. Want to make an announcement? Make room for the Rabbi Yoshua. Call him by his first name. No, it's like a nickname almost. Yeah, make room for Barli Va'er. Barli Va'er. So the Mefarshim explained, as I saw, Eliyahu Navi meant to say something. When a hashuv person is walking, the protocol is you don't let a hashuv person, an important person, walk alone. So they escort him. The halakha says you have an escort on the right and an escort on the left, and the hashuv person stands in the middle, and they stand a little behind, and they escort. Those that are escorting are called the milavim. They're escorting. The neshama also is the main personality of a person. Is his neshama, is his soul. The body is only an escort to the soul. The body is the melaveh. It escorts the soul in this world because the soul cannot go alone, so the body is. But after a certain point, once we get to Olam and Neshamot, the body stays behind, and the body never escorts the Neshama up to the Shamayim. The body stays down, and the Neshama goes up. But in Rabbi Yoshua's case, the body would escort. And therefore, Eliyahu Navi says, Panu makum nebar livaeh, that even the livaeh, even the melaveh, even the escort, make room for the escort. Make room for the body. Barli va'eh, even the secondary item is coming up as well. Where normally the barli va'eh stays down. Panu makom neva. So that wasn't a derision to the Yoshua. It was the biggest compliment. Oh. Rabbi Shimon says, was there a rainbow? There's no rainbow. He says, oh, there was a rainbow. There was a rainbow. Oh, there was a rainbow? You're not worthy. What's the pshat? We learned in last week's parasha, there was a tzaddik called Hanoch. The pasuk says, Vayitalech Hanoch et ha'elohim. Hanoch walked with God. Ve'enenu. What does ve'enenu mean? He disappeared. Now you see him. Now you know, where did Hanoch go? It doesn't say Hanoch died. You look at all the other generations. He lived this many. By Hanoch, this tzaddik, it just says ve'enenu. Guess what? Hanoch was also part of this elite group of tzaddikim. That they don't have to go through the earth and go back up. They just go straight up. He was able to sublime himself like Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi, like Eliyahu Navi. Yet now we have a biblical example of that concept in Hanoch. And Hanoch would go up to the Shamayim. Wow. So how come we don't hear about Hanoch? I mean, most people have heard of Hanoch. They know the name. They have a friend maybe called Hanoch, but they don't know who he's named after. And they don't know the story of it. There was a guy in the Tanakh, you're telling me that he just said, presto, and he went upstairs to the Shamayim. How come he's not talked about enough? How come we don't know about him? You know what the Hatam Sofer says? Because that's not the goal. Because you can only become so holy and so pristine if you become a recluse from human beings. If you have zero interaction with human beings and no connection to anybody in the generation, you lock yourself in a house and you just stay to yourself with God, like it says, Vayitalech Hanoch et Elohim. He just went with God all day long, so you can become Hanoch. But that's not what God wants, says Hatam Sofer. And I quote his words, Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rotzeh Sheyashiv Adam Me'avon. God wants the Sadiq to go out and bring the people back to Teshuvah. Even if it's going to take away from their level, even if by going out to the people you're going to get a little tainted, Now you have to sit with the bourgeoisie, you have to sit with the commoners, you have to sit with the simple folk. Much easier to lock yourself in a room and you work on yourself. That's what Hanukkah did. Adab Zavizu, you don't hear about him too much because the ultimate purpose of this world is the Rabbim Heshiv Me'avon. You have Sidkut, you have a Lashon, you have Chokhmah. Bring the people back. Oh. So says the Mefarshi. When Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai sees a man come up to Gan Eden in a body, he says, we have another Hanukkah. Another Hanukkah. So he tells him, what are you talking? You didn't go out and you didn't teach anybody, must be. Must be you just sat in your room all day long and studied, and you didn't pontificate, and you didn't give sermons, you didn't go out and give derashot. You kept it to yourself, so what are you worth? But what does that got to do with the rainbow? He didn't ask him that question the way I explained it. He says, was there a rainbow in you? I'm explaining the question to mean, what are you doing? When he told them, yeah, there was a rainbow, the Bishamon understood, you state to yourself, you're not teaching. You know what the explanation is? This is a derash I heard, I didn't hear it, I read it, from a Meir Shapiro from Dublin, founder of the Daf Yomi. He said an unbelievable explanation. Do you know what the rainbow signifies? The rainbow was a stark rebuke, a personal rebuke against Noah. And the rainbow is a rebuke against all the tzaddikim of every generation. Wow. The Zohar HaKadosh says, the flood is called Me Noah. The waters of Noah. As we refer to it as Hurricane Noah. You know how the hurricanes have names? So Noah was the lucky one, the Hurricane Noah. That's not a compliment. The Zohar HaKadosh says, God tells Noah, after when Noah came off the Teva and said, Borei Olam, what's going on over here? The Zohar HaKadosh says, God tells Noah, Ra'ya Shatia, you foolish shepherd. Where were you all these years? 120 years I told you to build a Teva, you should have been going out there and teaching the people Torah, you should have been bringing them back. You didn't do anything. You built the Teva, you saved yourself, you saved your family, now you're worried about the world, too little, too late. You should have been out there giving Torah, you should have been giving Musarim, you should have been bringing the people back from Avon. Yeah, Noah, you're a tzaddik, you're everything, but you fell short from your responsibility to save the generation. The Rabbi Meshiv Me'avon, that's the ultimate goal. Says Rav Meir Shapiro, you know why Noah didn't? You know why he shied away from that responsibility? Because he said to himself, the people are so far gone. The people are so casted in darkness that there's no way. They have reached a point of no return. There's no way we can shed any light. They become so debased and so perversive and so degenerate. And they fall into the lowest level. There's nothing that I could say that can bring light into their lives. God finishes the flood. During the flood, it was dark. The Midrash says the sun did not come out for 40 days. It was pitch black darkness. And if you looked at that dark sky during the flood, you'd say there'd never be light again in this sky. This sky is not capable of shining light anymore. It's too dark in a place like this. It's pitch black. It's like you go to the North Pole for 6 months, you're seeing darkness. You say after a while, it's never going to get light over here. And after the flood was over, what happens? Not only does God bring light into that sky, but He brings the most beautiful light ever seen, the light of a rainbow, seven colors. God tells Noah, that was your mistake. Where there's darkness, it's possible that can come great light, and you don't give up on anybody. And even if the person is on the lowest madriga, and even if the person is on a low spiritual level, where there's darkness, there can always come light. The rainbow, says Rav Meir Shapira, was a musar to Noah, that even in darkness can be followed by light, but you didn't try, you didn't give an effort, you didn't teach, you wrote them off. You were resolved that they must live and die in darkness, and you didn't even give them a chance to see the light, to open their eyes. And therefore God shows the beautiful light that comes after a rain. When does a rainbow come? After the dark sky always. It's a dark sky of rain, and you say, oh, no way this is going to produce light. And always after the darkest clouds, all of a sudden the clear way and you see a beautiful light. That's the musar to the tzaddikim of every generation. You must go out and teach. You must go out and give musar to the people and bring them back. And that's what the Rabbi Shimon was asking Rabbi Yehoshua. Was there a rainbow in your time? Because if there was a rainbow in your time, that's an indication that you didn't do your job, that you weren't teaching Torah. If there was a rainbow in your time, that's indicative that God is angry at you, just like He was angry at Noah. Rabbi Yehoshua was humble. Ben Ish Chai says Rabbi Yehoshua didn't want to boast. So he said, yeah, there was a rainbow in my time. I'm nothing. So Rabbi Shimon said, so what are you doing over here? Another Hanukh. Doesn't want to teach. Another Noah. Oh. But the rabbi concludes and says, it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Im lamadta Torah harbe, if you studied a lot of Torah, al ta'azik tova la'atzmecha. Don't pat yourself on the back. No, I look at my life. I studied Shas. Calm down. Al ta'azik tova la'atzmecha. Ki lekach nozarta. That's what you were created to do. A person is a plumber. So he comes along and there's a leak in the sink, and he comes along and he tightens the screw. He comes home to his wife. Oh, what did I do today? You don't know what I did today. What did you do? Somebody had a leak in the faucet. I went over and I thought, yeah, you're a plumber. What are you getting all excited for? If you tell me you flew a 777 jet across the world, I get excited because you're not a pilot, but you're a plumber. What are you getting excited for? You did something that you went to school for 50 years to learn, and that's what you came to the world for. So a person comes along and says, don't hold yourself so good. That's when you came to the world to study Torah, so what are you getting all excited? I saw brought down from Shemeshim where he explains this Mishnah differently. The Torah is called Tov, because it is the ultimate Tov. Kilekach Tov natati lachem, Torati al ta'azovu. And the Mishnah is saying, Im lamadta Torah harbe, if you studied a lot of Torah, Al ta'azik tova la'atzmecha. Don't hold the tova to yourself. Share the wealth. If you studied a lot of Torah, don't just keep on growing your own Torah. Al ta'azik tova la'atzmecha. Don't hold the tova in your brain. Open it up. Let it out. Give it to others. You have to disperse it. Ki lekach notzarta. That's why you were created. Adam le'amal yulad, le'amal rashi tevot, l'lmod al menat l'lamed. You were created in order to teach, in order to disseminate. What's going to help the world if you're studying Torah, but you didn't bring like the people to Teshuvah? Oh, that's what the Gemara might be alluding to at the end. When the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi told Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, yeah, there was a rainbow. But the Gemara says, listen to the words. Gemara says, Velohi, delahavamidi. Really, there was no rainbow. Ela savad. You know what Rabbi Yehoshua held? Lo ahazik tibuta lenafshai. He did not want to hold the Torah to himself. Really, Rabbi Yehoshua spread Torah. Really, Rabbi Yehoshua Shita was lo azik tibuta lenafshai. He did not hold the Torah to himself. On the contrary, he went out and he disseminated. He went out and he taught. And who did he teach? The Gemara says he taught the sickest. You know what the Gemara means? Not only the physically sickest, he taught the Ba'alei Ra'atan, the lowest, the students that everybody else was writing off because they were spiritually contagious. That's what Rashi alludes. That what? What is this disease? Sheretz yeshlo b'mocho. He has a mental block in his head. Sheretz yeshlo b'mocho. He's got all the tum'ah in his head. The sheretz is a tum'ah. The sheretz is a contaminated species. You know the students of Rabbi Yeshua? The guy that had all the tum'ah of Olam Hazeh and all the garbage in his head, like we would say today. And he came to the yeshiva. You know what all the other rabbis said? These kids over here, they're off the derech. There's no way we're going to be able to bring them back to Teshuvah. And you know what Rabbi Yeshua ben Nevi said? Bring them. What Noah didn't do, Rabbi Yeshua did. And that's why indeed there was no rainbow in the times of Rabbi Yeshua ben Nevi. Why? Because what Hezkiah HaMelech did in his time, disseminated Torah throughout the world, Rabbi Yeshua did the same thing in his time. And therefore you see, the greatest sigula of God bringing down Geshmei Beracha and not destroying the world is the study of the Torah, is the learning of the Torah. Baruch Hashem, we could say in our generation, there has been a great renaissance as well to the study of Torah. Especially when it comes to the studying of the Daf HaYomi. Most of our members that are in the Shi'ud attended the last Siyum HaShas a few months ago. Do you know that a few weeks ago, the Daf Yomi cycle began Masechet Shabbat? Now we're already on page 14, 15, around there. 2 weeks ago they started Masechet Shabbat. Do you know that you could not purchase a Gemara Shabbat in Brooklyn? There was no Gemariot. Do you realize that? I don't know if that ever happened, where you would go into a bookstore, and they know there's Daf Yomi, and they know to stack up. It's like, oh, we thought Erubin comes after Berachot. We messed up. No, they knew Shabbat is the next Gemara. And they stocked up, and they knew that there's an uptick, so they stocked up double the amount what they normally get. And you could drive up and down Coney Island Avenue and all the side streets. You walk in, there's a sign in the window, no more Masechet Shabbat. Like in the times of Hezkiah, you can go from the north and the south, Tinok v'tinok et ish v'isha. And everybody's walking around with a Masechet Shabbat. I recently went for a few days of rest and relaxation in Miami. I was there this morning. I was there for a few days. You know, every morning in the synagogue that I prayed, they said, Rabbi Eli, you're going to give the Daf Yomi? I said, I give it every morning 6 a.m. You be there, you be there. Now, we usually do it, Rabbi, at 5:45 p.m. I usually do it at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, you be there. This morning, yesterday, the day before, we sat in the Turnberry Synagogue and Safra Synagogue. 6 men sitting around the table, 6 a.m. But look at the beauty of it. We're all studying the same Gemara. We don't have to discuss what's tomorrow's subject, where we are, which Gemara, do you have books? Everybody's studying the same curriculum. It became a great worldwide frenzy, a craze of Torah. This is a great protection for us. Our enemies that are out to destroy us, we have already magdim refu'ah lemakah. We've already brought the salvation before the damage. What the Torah in the time of Hezkiah and the Torah in the times of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, where there was no keshet in his time, and our generation as well. Even if there is a keshet, but through the study of our Torah is bringing tremendous amount of protection to Am Yisrael. I will conclude. The Hafetz Chaim said, I'm not jealous of the idea of Rabbi Meir Shapiro, that he came up with the Daf Yomi and the zechut that he's getting from the Daf Yomi. I'm not jealous of that. He says, I'm jealous of what zechut did he do before that to merit to get to this zechut. Because mitzvah goredet mitzvah, one mitzvah leads to another. If this is the result, I want to know what the father mitzvah was that he did to beget this mitzvah of the Daf HaYomi. And I don't think it's a coincidence. This week in Israel on Tuesday is the 7th, in America as well, it's the 7th day of Hijran. The 7th day of Hijran for Bnei Eretz Yisrael is very significant. That's the day where they start praying for rain. Whereas in America we do it in the beginning of December, December 4th or 5th. But in Eretz Yisrael they start praying for rain on Zion, Mar Cheshvan. That's why the month is called Mar Cheshvan. Mar means a drop. Hen goyim kemar middeli, the goyim like a drop in the bucket. Mar Cheshvan, the rainy season of Cheshvan, because on the 7th of Cheshvan, that's when we ask for rain. I saw from Rabbi Moshe Wolfson, he said like this, that great flood that happened in the time of Noah, it happened in the form of rain. He says, but the Torah is also compared to rain. Ya'arof kamatar l'chi. He says, you know what? In the time of Noah, really that generation, if they would have been on the right level, and if Noah would have went out and taught them, that physical rain really was supposed to be the rain of Torah, of Matan Torah. But since they didn't reach the spiritual perfection, instead of it raining spiritual Torah, it ended up raining in a physical way. And that's why he says it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Because the Torah was supposed to be given with 40 days or 40 nights, like Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah. But instead of receiving the spiritual part of Torah, they received the physical. And it destroyed them. That great Mabul was an indication of something great that was supposed to happen. And that's why he says, when God was giving the Torah to Am Yisrael, the Goyim, they sensed something in the world. They went to Bil'am. You know what they told Bil'am? Adonai la Mabul Yashav. We feel that there's another flood coming. They felt that there was some sort of flood, but they couldn't understand what type of flood it's going to be. And what did Bil'am answer them? Don't get nervous. Adonai Oz La'amo Yitin. God is bringing the Torah, which is called Oz Adonai Yibarekat Amo B'Shom. It's a peaceful flood. It's not like the flood of Noah that should have been a floodgates of Torah. I don't think it's a coincidence. On the 7th day of Hijran, every year we ask for rain. Barech aleinu v'ten talu matar. And really the real rain is the spiritual rain of Torah. And every year on the 7th of Hijran, we also commemorate a famous yahrzeit of a tzaddik, Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin, on the 7th of Hijran. This bracha of She'elat Geshamim, v'ten talu matal v'bracha, no greater day of the yahrzeit of the rabbi that has brought down to us this idea of the spiritual downpour of the Daf HaYomi, the deluge, the mabul, the flood of Torah that has been brought to the world as a result. And therefore, I say to Kahal Kadosh, whether you're learning Daf HaYomi or other limudim, that is our strength. עומדות היו רגלינו בשעריך ירושלים, בשערים המצוינים, בכל כל יעקב, דן אין הידיים ידי עשיו, סמך זבונון בסתיך ויסחר באוהליך. That's the inyan of the Keshet. When you see the rainbow means you could have light even when there's great darkness. And that reminds the tzaddikim, go out and teach. Adam la'amal yulad, you must promote the study of the Torah. And then Be'azat Hashem, just like in the time of Hezkiah, there was great miracles. And just like in the times of Rashbi, there was greater miracles. In the times of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, look at his ending. He was able to defeat Satan. Because when one goes out and teaches Torah, even to the Ba'alei Ra'atan, even to those kids that have the sheretz in their head, that their brains are all filled with the Tum'ah, and you go and teach them, that teacher is able to take the sword out of the hand of the Satan. He's able to neutralize the Satan when it has to beg for his weapon back. He can enter Gan Eden alive. That's what God wants, and that's what he wants in our generation. Yirason, we should be zocher that the arrows should only be going up, like Borei Olam says, let them shoot the arrows to me and not to my children. And then this arrow of Deen will turn into an arrow of Rahamim, and then will be fulfilled on us. And the land will be filled with wisdom. Kamayim layam mechasim. As much as there's water in the ocean, then already the mabul of physical waters, when Mashiach comes, will turn into the mabul of chokhmah. Lo ra'av lalechem velo tzama lamayim. Ki'im neshmoa et devar Hashem. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen. Rabbi Hanan Amar Kasha Omer. Sabar Kodesh Kodesh Yisrael. Lefika kerba le'kashon ha'ruch ha'fesem ha'atzadko. היא יגדיר תורה ויאדיר.